Hello, hello. That's Amanda's intro, but I'll say it today because Amanda's not here. Welcome to another, possibly the last, second to last episode of Before We Go. Today we have a returner as my co-host for today, Jenny.
Hi! Remember me, I was from episode 2, and I talked for a super, super long time, so here you're going to hear me talk again, and excuse me, but I'm a little bit sick, so I sound a little croaky and a little bit like deaf, but that's all part of the charm, I feel
sound
like.
Channel your Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Yes.
And I'm Jenny, but you might also know me as Janu, so you're welcome to use both.
Yes, and today we have our very good friend, Krupa.
Hi.
Krupa George.
Yes, Krupa George.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm a senior here and graduating. Yeah, no, in like a few days. I'm pre-med and have survived that, which is crazy. But yeah, and I'm going to med school in like 2 months, which is also crazy.
Congratulations, Krupa!
The hoarseness and the tiredness in our voice.
Yeah, just
showing
the finals.
The real deal.
Oh my gosh.
So, as always, we will start off with the question that I always forget to ask, which is, how did we meet? This goes way back, the three of us.
Way back. We go beef, like, this is actually prehistoric, because we met before we even started at Baylor.
Yes, and little tidbit, we have a group of 4 of us. We call the group name Laundry. We're missing one today. Salmi is unfortunately not here with us, but yes, we can still tell you the story. Oh, Salmi as in Salmi Salmiko, who was on our Evolution of the College Student episode.
Yeah, I loved that episode, by the way. Like, that was fantastic. Anyway,
I laughed a lot.
Shameless plug for like the rest of the podcast, and I'm not getting paid for any of this. So,
neither am I.
Yeah, but we have Salmi here in spirit, so we're gonna channel that kind of like very green, those thoughts and ideas
that
as we
vegan
talk
energy.
About. Yeah, that vegan energy.
Just got big vegan energy.
Yeah. So like I have like my thoughts and my versions because me and Krupa met before we met the pair of you.
It was like two. Salmi yes. And I met first, and then Janu and Krupa met first.
So I'm curious, I want to hear how Krupa wants to say that we met, and okay, then maybe I'll jump in with whatever I have, so go
okay
ahead.
So we've talked about line camp in this podcast before, but yeah, we had small groups with that, and Janu and I were in the same small group, and I remember I noticed her immediately because she was the only other person of color.
Yes!
In our group.
Diverse,
not just brown person, just person of color.
Just in general.
Color.
I remember you referred to, so it was like peak of summer in Texas, so it was really hot. Every time we went outside, you would talk about how you were turning more into toast.
Oh, yes!
It's great. We were like slathering ourselves with sunscreen. But yeah, I remember Johnny because like she had that braid, and like her name was Jenny, which I thought was Indian, but
yeah,
like I didn't want to make assumptions, especially but like with the braid. I like went up to her. I was like, "So, where are you from?"
Yeah,
I think that is what we bonded on immediately, and then we sat together on a bus on the way to. It was like a 3-hour bus ride.
Yeah.
Or I think on the way back is when we really talked because the bus broke down.
Yeah,
so, it did. Oh, our bus did. I don't know if yours did.
We were on the same bus.
We were on the same bus.
Okay, no, on the way back?
I was asleep.
Okay, no, we talked, like, it was super late, but yeah, we talked about, like, everything from, like, feminism in Bollywood to, like, I don't even know what else did we talk about.
Feminism overall, like, that's the main thing that stood out to me is we had, like, similar ideas about feminism in, like, South Asian movies, and I was like, this girl, yes, I gotta stick around with her, like, I like this one.
Oh, man. Mine was like, someone needs to help Salmi pick up her water bottle.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how we met. And then we met the two of y'all the next day, I
Mm-mm.
think.
We met on the bus.
We met on the
no,
bus.
No, we met on the ropes course.
Oh, I forgot. So I don't think I met y'all on the ropes course. Like, I remember meeting y'all because we were, like, out on the sidewalk somewhere.
I forgot if it was the bus to the ropes course or the bus to Independence. Which
Maybe
was first?
Oh, the ropes course was first.
Oh, I just remember that Salmi and I sat next to you two, because we were the only four Asians on the bus.
Yes, okay.
Oh, that's okay. No, I remember for sure we were at Common Grounds together, and we went up to Charmaine's.
Oh, that horrendous harmonica. I just remember slowly plugging my ears during the concert.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Sorry to whoever played that harmonica for
me. No, not sorry.
Definitely not sorry.
Yeah. No, that was really funny because, like, it was really hot, as I've mentioned, but I had this little thing from Disney World. It was, like, a spray bottle with a fan on it. Mm-hmm. And I also had sunscreen and, like, bug spray. I had way too much in my bag. But y'all just, like, I remember you thought I was, like, very well prepared. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's going to go away very soon.
No, but she was. She I mean, even now, like, I don't know why
no,
she
not
says
now.
Like, she is pretty prepared. Like, she always has, like, the, like, extra snack in her bag. Like some water or whatever.
Yesterday.
We all took grad pictures yesterday and this girl passed out. Anyway.
Tiff was the one that was prepared in that situation.
Tiff was. It's honestly Croups and Tiff are very like prepared. Me and Sammy are like honestly like such hot messes. It's not even funny. Anyway. But I just wanted to like jump in and add on to how we met. So yes, we were the only two brown people. So I was like, there's another brown girl. I'm gonna go say hi. I can't remember who said hi. Maybe you said hi first.
Honestly, I don't remember. Like, I feel like I did, but also that doesn't sound like me, so I wouldn't be surprised.
probably attacked you.
We did speed dating on the bus though.
Yeah,
oh, we did.
Yeah. But, like, I think we kind of just sidled up to each other and we were like, well, we're going to be together because we're the only two brown people here. So, like, this is just going to happen.
The story of my life.
You know, this is, like, we kind of knew inherently this was going to happen. And I have, like, a little funny, like, anecdote about kind of, like, being with Croups, like, first time. So, like, Croups, for whatever reason, like, felt very comfortable. We started talking. We started kind of, like, exchanging, like, stories, anecdotes about our lives, that kind of thing. And she was feeling, like, very comfortable, which I was, like, I'm glad because I'm very, like, I'm a little more extroverted. I like to talk clearly. But Krupa seemed to be a little bit quieter, so she was kind of opening up with me. And so I was like, oh, you know, I'm not scaring her off, that kind of thing. And she started this anecdote, and she just started talking about this whoever, I don't even know. And she goes, and she did this, and she did that, and this happened, and then he said this, and he said that. And she's saying all these names. I'm like, I literally have no idea who these people are. I have no idea what's going on, and I'm just like I'm like leaning in to listen, and I'm like trying to like be like yeah like I'm following along, but like halfway through I have to be like, hey, like, so I actually don't know any of the people that you're talking about, can you like clarify? And she's like, oh, like, I'm so sorry, did I not actually start the story? And I was like, no, you just suddenly started talking. She was like, oh, well, all of these are, like, this is my friend from high school, and this is this person I know. But it was just the funniest thing to me, because I was like, that's how comfortable, like, we immediately felt with each other. That was just so, like, I will never forget that. Like, it's just
I knew
the
you were
cutest,
tell that story.
Funny. Yeah.
So embarrassing. Oh, my God.
No, it was so.
I'm sorry.
No, it was so cute. I just thought it was the cutest thing. So I was like, okay. This is how it's probably going to be for the next 4 years. And it, Loki was.
I know, when I met you guys, I thought it was such an interesting but complimentary pair because your personalities are so different. But it works. It works very well.
It really does, yeah. So, yeah, that's, like, kind of how we met. And, like, we've all been friends, good friends, since that time throughout now until this time that we graduate. That was not even a sentence. What was that?
That was a thought.
It was a thought.
It's a thought that matters.
Let me transmit this thought through the podcast. I'm sure you guys received it.
Oh, yeah.
So we invited Croups here to talk a little bit about stress and hobbies and art and calligraphy and med school and all the things, because we would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, stress and hobbies. Like, you know, how did you kind of start off managing those? What does it look like now? If you want to just speak to that a little bit more.
Yeah, so I know I wasn't super stressed freshman year.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, no, like, I... thinking back to all the stress I've experienced since then, it wasn't as bad. But, like, mostly it was just, like, really little things, like getting my textbooks. Oh, my gosh, you guys know about the whole textbook thing. Like, I was always, like, trying to find cheaper textbooks.
Krupa is a scam artist. Like, she's the ultimate con artist. Like, if there's a shortcut to be had, like, she will find a way.
Oh, that's a good line camp memory. So we weren't allowed to have our phones during line camp.
Oh my God.
And I had just gotten a new phone because I had, like, broken my last phone. it had a cracked screen. It was fine.
Oh, I have a funny story for later.
But you see, this was the week ACL tickets were going on sale. And, yes. And so I turned in my old broken phone, snuck in my new phone, and, like, used it at night. And so I was, like, updating people on, like, this was, like, primaries were happening for the election. So I was like, okay, yeah, this person just announced they're running. Like, I was, like, the secret, like, conduit of news. But, yes.
I was like, none of us would have even thought about something like that. She just, like, gets away with all this stuff, like, under the radar. And the thing is, like, she looks, you know, she looks kind of like, she's like, on the smaller side. Small. I described it as the small one in the podcast. Yes. She's, like, on the smaller side, and so people are like, oh, Krupa, you know, quiet. No, she's, like, a savage. Like, she's dangerous, y'all. Like, I would look out. Like, she's scary. Okay. But anyway.
So tell us about your hobby.
Oh, yes. I'm scamming people.
What else do you do?
You have to relieve your stress.
Tell you. Oh, man. But, I had a prepared answer for this. I don't know where it's going now. See how I can tie this back. But so looking back, things that I was worried about don't seem that important anymore. But I definitely did a lot more music stuff, which is something I wanted to mention, because, like, I did that in church and choir in high school, but didn't really continue that in college except for, like, worship nights at our dorm, which was fun. But then we also had fun jam sessions with laundry. I remember one time we, like, snuck in. This is another, like, sneaky thing we did. We snuck into the attic of our dorm, and then one of the CLs came in. Was it Daniel?
I don't remember.
I think it was, actually. I think it was. Like, he came in and, yes, another one of your podcast guests, but came in and, like, kicked us out, so I felt like we got in trouble for that. But, yeah.
Are you saying that proudly? Or
I am. No, proudly. Oh, man, I gotta make a list of all the things I've done that I shouldn't have. But
I don't think I've ever said those words.
I know. You wouldn't expect it from her.
Do continue, please.
I mean, yeah. Graduating in 3 days, and is this coming out after graduation?
No, this is coming out on Friday.
Oh, okay, so there's a chance I may not graduate if this gets in the wrong hands.
Stay tuned.
We will see.
Maybe we have a new before I go.
Another year. Oh, man. But, yeah, I think just, like, the fact that we saw each other more, like, living in a dorm, getting to have those fun experiences, being with people all the time, like, whether I wanted to or not, helped relieve stress or added to it, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, before, like, we had a lot of community activities, like, at our dorm because it was, like, a residential, very focused on community. And since moving out into, like, an apartment, like, my hobbies have kind of, like, turned more inward to, like, things on my own. So, like, before I played games like Humans versus Zombies and all the other fun things that we did. Assassin. Oh, my gosh. Assassin. That was fun. But, yeah, so since then I started, doing more things like calligraphy. I started baking, which was fun. Then I got really, really stressed with, I guess, OChem time, maybe, internship, all of that. But I think that made me, like, want to start doing more, like, things that gave myself time on my own to, like, reflect. So I started, like, kind of journaling, but not seriously enough journaling. So I would, like, write out quotes, which turned into calligraphy. I also have good handwriting, apparently, and that someone noticed me, like, writing thank you cards for something, and they asked me to do the chalkboard in the medical humanities office, and that's more of, like, an art thing, so I started doing that. To explain, the medical humanities office is in the BSB, which is the science building, and it's a very stressful building, but they have a chalkboard out in the hallway, like, across one of the big lecture halls, so they always have encouraging quotes and little art pieces, and so I got to do that for, like, 2 years, which was really fun, because I had, like, an hour set apart to just sit down and draw or color or do art, and yeah, that was great, just to, like, get out of, like, the science stuff and just all the things going on with school, with organizations, and have, like, one task to do. And yeah, it was one of the big things I've done. And I got into photography, which was fun too. I don't know,
where did I'm just curious, like, where did a lot of your inspiration come for the chalkboards? Because, like, they would go up for sometimes, like, 2 weeks at a time or, like, a month at a time, and it would be, usually kind of themed.
Yeah.
According to the month, like Easter or, you know, Halloween or whatever. But you used to come up with some really clever captions and drawings, so I'm curious, where do you get your inspiration?
So some of them were Bible verses that were, like, themed for, like, this season, but, like, honestly, most of it came from Pinterest. It was, yeah, and, like, the office manager would, like, in the beginning find me quotes to do, and then I started, like, coming up with my own quotes because I realized that it was, like, I don't know, in the beginning I felt like it was a job that I, like, had to do whatever they wanted me to, but then she was like, honestly, it's your chalkboard, do what you want, so that was more fun. But yeah, mostly Pinterest. Like, if you look at some of the boards I've done, like, I'm sure you can find the Pinterest picture I stole it from.
We'll plug you really fast. Where can people find the boards that you've done?
Some of them are on my Instagram, which is at Krupart, which is K-R-U-P-A-R-T. It's a play on my name.
They're really beautiful, guys. Like, honestly, like, Like, I for sure could never create anything like that. And it's just, it's so pleasing to the eye to kind of walk by and see that, you know, in a stressful building. And it's kind of a nice pause to your day to see something so beautiful.
Yeah, we need more art in the BSB.
Oh, for
That's
sure.
That's not black and white blobs at the elevator landings.
Yes.
I mean, that was supposed to be a start, but yeah, they didn't grow from that.
Yeah.
We need more color in there.
Oh, fun fact about the chalkboards, I actually sent one of them to one of my interviewers at med school.
Wow.
So I did one, yeah, I did one for, I think, Halloween, and I did it Monsters, Inc. themed. This is one, like, probably one of three that I came up with on my own. But it was Boo, yes. Was it Boo?
It was Boo,
It was
yeah.
Boo and Mike, like, where he was, like, screaming. And I said, Boo, there's nothing scarier than an unvaccinated child.
That was one of my favorites ever. And it was definitely, like, verging on the edgier
side. I know. This was before the anti-vax memes, guys. Like, this was the original anti-vax meme.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I loved that board. I thought that was so clever.
Do you have other favorite memes, Scrooge?
Oh my gosh, don't get me started.
Scrooge is also a meme master.
So I got into memes this year doing, so another shout out is our Instagram for medical mentors. It's at Baylor Medical Mentors, and I got to run it this year, and I put up all the memes. So I really do like anti-vaxxer memes. I know they can be mean, so I don't post them on there.
They could be mean. Sorry. I had to do it. Sorry.
Oh, man. But I don't know. I like, what other memes? The Avengers ones are really good. Like, there's this one with the Hulk right now where he's like, okay, if you haven't seen Endgame, like, tune out for a second. But he said, I see this as an absolute success.
Oh.
You know? Yeah. I've been using that for everything. So basically, like, the format is, like, it'll be, like, something that sounds like a failure, and it basically is, but, like, there's, like, a tiny circumstance that makes it, like, not as bad. So, like, an example would be when the class average is a 64 and you got a 65. Yeah. I see this as an absolute success.
Success.
Based on a true story.
And you've dressed up as memes too before, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, we had an auction that was meme themed. That right? Wow, but I was the Arthur meme. And so I had, like, a yellow sweater with the little fist thing, and I had a little piece of paper that, like, went around my hand, so it, like, looked like the meme, and it had a caption on it, but I also brought a blank one just in case. And so, yeah, no, I think my original caption was, like, when you couldn't think of a better costume.
Aww.
And then I got there, and there were three other Arthur costumes. And so I changed it to when there are other people with the same costume as you.
Well done.
I should have taken a picture.
Oh, you didn't take a picture?
I did not.
Oh, man, that was the next thing I was going to ask you.
Missed opportunities.
Oh, it's okay. What's your all-time favorite one?
Oh, such a hard question.
Sorry.
Oh, man. Okay, there's this one that I've used as the answer to this question before. It's like a doctor with his stethoscope, like, with the stethoscope on his, like, phone or whatever. Like, the listening part of it. I should know what parts of stethoscopes are called. But yeah, he's, like, listening to his music with the stethoscope, and it's, like, how doctors listen to music. It's a really dumb meme,
That'd
but
be
I like
quite
it.
Loud.
Yeah.
Oh, also the Kermit memes.
Oh, the tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, those
are
great.
That's my business.
They're very, yeah, they're very applicable to, like, every situation. But, yeah, kind of, like, going back to your calligraphy and your art, like, I kind of want to ask about, so we talked a little bit about the chalkboard, but, like, with your calligraphy, because you do calligraphy with, like, a lot of different things. Like, I think even in meetings and stuff where we've been together, sometimes if you're kind of thinking or kind of zoning out a little bit, you might be, you're, like, kind of doodling. So, like, but, and then you come up with these really, really beautiful illustrations. Meanwhile, like, I have, like, scribbles on my notebook. and she, like, creates all these wonderful things. Do you have, like, some places that you see, like, inspiring you with your calligraphy? Or, like, how did you get into it in the first place? How do you have great handwriting? Like, share some tips for us, mere mortals.
Okay, so I can start the handwriting thing because I think this is my ultimate scam.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, this is. I have never shared this with anyone, so here you go.
Before we go exclusive,
we feature criminals.
I had very mediocre handwriting. I don't know, it was nothing special, but there were some girls in my class in, like, fifth grade, elementary school-ish, that had, like, beautiful handwriting, and I was like, I want to be one of those girls, and so I started, like, copying their handwriting. It sounds bad. And so whenever I saw someone's handwriting I liked, like, I guess this sounds criminal, because it sounds like I can forge, and maybe I can, maybe this is a new untapped skill. But I'm inspired by other people's handwriting. I will try to copy letters that I like how certain people.
Yeah,
write
I did them. That too in middle and high school.
Okay. I did that too.
And then I found out the secret to neater handwriting is just writing smaller so people can't really tell that it's messy.
Oh yeah, you Tiff has like microscopic handwriting.
Yeah, Tiff's handwriting is very neat. Oh
yeah.
Or tiny, I guess.
There you go.
It is minuscule. Like, I cannot. It is so, yeah. It is hard to read. Exactly.
That was a thing where it was when I was writing study notes, right? Because I
yes.
would feel better when I was studying for final or long test if I only had 3 sheets of paper to study instead of 9. So it was kind of a mental trick for me.
But then you need a microscope just to read your notes.
So I've gotten into optometry to make sure everyone can see your handwriting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, very smart. Very lucrative business ideas. Look at this. I have 2 such excellent, you know, thinkers over here. Thinkers of our generation. Amazing. So, kind of going off of, like, arts, but still kind of staying within, like, humanities side.
Yes.
Okay, so you kind of mentioned medical humanities a little bit. Do you want to, like, tell us a little bit what exactly is medical humanities? And then, okay, I have some follow-up questions.
Okay. I guess I'll name drop here. Dr. Barron is an amazing person. She is a female physician. Here at Baylor, she went to Baylor and, like, now works in Waco as a physician and also the director of the medical humanities program. So she teaches classes as well as, like, being a practicing doctor, which is amazing. But she is in charge of this really cool department, as she called, like, the purpose of it, as she says, is to turn pre-med robots into humans before they become, oh man, I want to get this quote right. Do you remember what it is? It's like, I think maybe it's robots, gods, or a terrifying combination of both.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
That sounds about right.
Okay. But she has this great quote. But basically, it's with pre-med, like, you have to do a lot of these hard science classes with organic chemistry and biochem and, like, all of that. But so people get so focused on, like, systems and, like, the body that we forget that there's people that we're going to be treating. So, like, you do turn into robots if you don't actively try to not, I guess. Like, there's a lot of people that will just focus on their schoolwork and then get to med school and, like, not know how to interact with people or patients or just understand that there are different factors that go into a person. Like, the person is more than a sum of their parts, like the cells and tissues and diseases that they have, that they have, like, backgrounds. So it encourages us to study things like sociology and psychology so we can get a better idea of patients as people as they think about it. Mm. And I think a lot of times, I think that's what's missing in healthcare today, because we are so focused on, like, outcomes and numbers that we forget there's people at the center of it. And even shadowing, I've seen instances where there's, like, a bridge between doctors and patients, like a disconnect, I guess. Medical humanities is supposed to be the bridge. The disconnect between doctors and patients, that when doctors are just, like, there's a case of, like, non-compliance. There's this woman that was refusing to have a medication that was prescribed for her. It was supposed to be an IV medication, and she was just very, very much against it. There was a whole ordeal about it. The doctors and, like, nurses were speaking badly about her. They're like, oh, she just has a bad attitude. Yeah, she was also pregnant and had epilepsy. And so, like, this was a very important medication that she needed, but she absolutely refused. And so their compromise was that she was going to leave AMA, which is against medical advice. And so this was, like, a case of the morning. We came back later, and one of the nurses told us that she'd changed her mind. Like, she had a conversation with her. And it was just a simple conversation with the nurse that changed her mind, because the nurse found out. Well, she started out talking about their pets. So, like, they had dogs and, like, showed each other pictures of dogs, and then they became friends. And then this patient felt comfortable enough with the nurse to open up and talk about her history of abuse and how she had been, like, abused throughout her life. Like, she was a young woman, so, like, from her childhood, and had, like, a really, like, bad distrust of authority as a result. So she didn't want a doctor sticking a needle in her. And but
that makes sense.
Yeah, so, like, when you think about, like, people have, like, stories and, like, things that have shaped their lives, and if you're looking at it from a purely medical perspective, you'd be like, well, why is she not taking her medicine? Like, she needs it. Like, it is for her and her baby. But I don't know, I think, yeah, it's just being aware of that is important. And, like, this was actually part of a medical humanities class. We got to shadow different specialties. So I saw this, like, in my shadowing class, and then we discussed it after. So, like, that was really cool, just talking about the experiences we've had shadowing, the lessons we've learned. Those are all things that medical humanities is all about, which I think has been really special.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, are you talking about supervised clinical medicine?
Yes.
As your class? Yeah, because I took that class too, like, which was a great opportunity. So if you're a Baylor student and you have the opportunity to take it, definitely sign up for it. It's a fantastic, fantastic class where you get to kind of shadow all these different specialties and see, but then really investigate and really dig into those conversations about what makes human beings human, and then what happens when those human beings come to you as vulnerable as they are in illness. And I think there's something really interesting, you know, people don't come to the doctor as a collection of illness. They come as a collection of stories, as background, whatever it might be. Maybe trauma even is involved in that. And I think, like you said, Creeps, like, it's so interesting how like, you know, we focus a lot on the hard sciences, which kind of teach us to look at numbers, which of course are very, very important, but there might be something hidden in those stories that we're missing that could be kind of keys to unlocking more about these patients and people, really, that we're taking care of more than patients. But I love that. I love that, like, medical humanities is kind of helping, kind of slowly, yeah, turning students into thinking, feeling practitioners. So you took a lot of medical humanities classes. Which one was, like, your favorite? Which one stood out to you? Combination of your loves, maybe.
So I'm going to talk about my first ever medical humanities class, mm-hmm. which was visual arts and healing. So this was a class, I took it because Dr. Barron was teaching it, and I hadn't really had much of an art background before, but again, Dr. Barron's amazing, so I was like, any class with her is going to be great, so I took it. And it was just really cool to have the opportunity. I was kind of forced into doing art pieces through it, but just, like, seeing all of the artwork that other people made, the ways that art can be incorporated into healthcare. One of my most, like, my favorite lectures was on architecture, and so, like, how hospital architecture can, like, convey healing. I never really, like, noticed the way hospitals are designed before that, but like, that you want to have as much of nature incorporated as possible. So, like, on some of my med school interviews, when they, like, took us to hospital and stuff, like, I would notice things. I'd be like, oh yeah, like, this is a good example of, like, architecture that is conducive to healing. So when there's, like, open, like, a lot of windows, skylights if possible, like, wood. I've noticed wood a lot in, like, patient rooms now, because that just brings, like, an earthy sense to it. But yeah, just, like, the surroundings can help heal. Artwork as well, like we were just talking about in the VSB, how we need more art.
Yeah.
Wonder why that's a stressful building. Maybe because we have no art. I don't know. But yeah, and then also having the opportunity, so we had a journal project where every week we had an assignment, we had to do an art journal. And so there weren't like clear, some of them were clearer than others, but it was just like putting together things to express ideas. That doesn't sound right.
Does it?
Okay, so it's like we had a notebook basically, and you had to do like a spread for each week, which is like 2 pages, fill it up on a theme. So like the first one was healing. And so I did like a 2-page, like one, it was like art versus science, or humanities versus science. No, I think it was art and science. And so like the right side I had like, so I did a rainbow like gradient. And so like the left side, yeah. So I went like the left side was like cooler colors, so like purple and blue and whatever. And then the right side was like the warmer, like reds or whatever. And I think, so left side was art. I put out like, I made a collage. I put out like medicine bottles, numbers, graphs, whatever, on the left side and the right side. I had like art, I had a lot of like humanities like quotes and stuff, and the middle I put medicine. And so I think that class is really important to me because I learned that medicine is both an art and a science, so we focus a lot on the science but we won't focus on the art, which I think medical humanities is all about. There's like an art of interacting with people, an art of trying to understand, just like seeing things differently. So that was another big lesson, was like looking broadly. So we would have exercises where she would show us paintings, and we would have like, we would have to look at it for 5 minutes, and that's a long time to stare at a painting, but take down notes. And then we had to discuss like what we noticed. Not at the beginning, like we were all really bad at it, but by the end we were able to like see things. Like we would see shadows and like be like, oh, like that is saying something about this like picture, and like just understanding, I don't know, looking broadly. And again, like I've applied that to like my whole idea of medicine. So like a lot of times we look like very closely at like a specific detail. So even with like diagnosing illnesses, which is something Dr. Behrens like brought up in that class, you're focused on like one little thing that you don't like take into account like other aspects that be, that could be contributing. So you have to be able to like slow your looking down and then step back a bit and see a bigger picture.
Wow. Yeah. I love that, and I think you can even bring, like, bedside manner into that. Yes. Just overall, like, the way you carry yourself around patients, keeping all of those pieces in mind, like, that's so valuable. I really hope, like, more students get the opportunity to participate in that.
Oh, it's such a great class. Like, I know she hadn't taught it for a while, but she taught again this semester, so hopefully.
Oh,
yeah, just keep asking. I guess before we go, I hope that you will all continue. I don't know if anyone who is going to still be here is listening, but keep asking for this class.
Do you have pictures of your journal still?
I had my, oh no, I gave my journal to someone. I can get it.
I guess. Now you're going to get it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of want to go on kind of a different tack, kind of switching gears just a little bit.
Are you going to ask the leadership question?
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask you guys a question first?
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of in line with medical humanities and art and all of that, you both took on a very small organization called AMWA, American Medical Women's Association, and brought it in a very, very short period of time into the Student Organization of the Year. And both of you worked together as leaders, and so I would love to hear a little bit about what that process was like, taking a very small fledgling club and really realizing a dream while you guys were here. How did your dynamic work? What were the challenges? Any tips?
I'm blushing. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I feel like I just talked a lot.
Okay, I'll go first. Well, people are probably tired of hearing me talk, like, since episode 2, but, you know. So, to kind of start off with, like, we are both very, very passionate about women empowerment, and I think sometimes, so, I want to phrase this the right way. It's important to be very organized and to, you know, have a very well thought out plan, and be very logical and bring a lot of reason into what you do. But if you don't have passion, which is the fire that really drives it to completion, we'd still be sitting at level zero. So, like, honestly, for me personally, I really feel like at the end of the day when it was, you know, really difficult, you know, because, you know, it's not an easy thing to be in a leadership position and to, you know, manage that. A lot of the times what kind of got me through that was, like, this is bigger than just like Baylor or Waco or anything. This is helping people like across the world, and like this is for the betterment of humans. So I think that passion for women empowerment, for equality, for feminism is like something that really, really like propelled us, I feel. And that's something that we really have in common, and we're like complete opposites, I would say. Like I don't know if you can already tell, but like I'm definitely a very much like much more vocal type of leader. I like to kind of manage large teams. I'm very comfortable with that. Like I'm very comfortable with the people side of leading. I feel like Krupa, I'll let her tell her side herself, but I feel like Krupa tends to be a quieter leader, but she focuses a lot more on like operations, and she's very good at making sure everything runs smoothly, like authorization work, paperwork, that's your girl. So together somehow we managed to like make something beautiful out of it. But I want to also like hear your experience.
Yeah, no, that's really funny that you said that, because his question is like how we got the organization to grow, and like my immediate answer was like thinking, I was like, oh yeah, like we had a lot of spreadsheets. Yeah. We like made a list of like what all needed to improve.
Yes.
So yes, you are exactly right. Yeah, no, I think a huge part of it was just like us being able to work together, like being such good friends, because I know that's been, it's really tricky to navigate like organization leadership just because of different personalities and working with different people. And it's really great having like someone you know that's there for you and that you can talk to. Like I've loved rooming with you.
Yes.
At the same time as like being in charge of this
incredible
organization.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes you get like really frustrated like in like a professional setting, and like you can't
yes.
talk about it there, and it's not professional to talk about it with your friends, but it's great having a friend that you can talk about things
yeah,
with.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, that's been like, it's honestly been such a blessing, and it's just been so beautiful like being able to like work with you in a professional setting and then bring that home as well. I know a lot of people are like, oh, I like to keep my personal and professional, but like we're, you know, the things that we're working on are some things that we're really passionate about,
and we have some of our best
yeah.
ideas just over like casual conversations.
Exactly. Like, chatting, sitting on the couch watching The Bachelorette. Yeah. And so I think it's been like a really beautiful thing. But yeah, like I'm kind of, if I can kind of, did we get all the points? Did we answer all of the questions that you asked us? Okay. Cuz I kind of want to now like kind of switch a little bit. So what is it like being a quiet leader? And what do you need from people who might consider themselves stronger, more vocal leaders in order to succeed as a quieter leader?
So I've kind of tried to think about this answer. So I've done like workshops on leadership, and I've described leadership as being, so I have a younger sister who is probably listening to this right now, so shout out to Kirtana. But I feel like just being, so the example I've used is being a leader is like being a big sister or brother, like just a sibling to like everyone around you, just like leading by example, because that's something like I've had to do like since she was born.
Not before
that. Oh no, like ages 1 to 2.5 or 0 to 2.5, I was terrible.
You should put that in your resume.
Big sister. Oh man, but like I think just like having a sibling, just like someone that like looks like at everything you do, and like for a lot of younger siblings, like go just like copy your older sibling. I don't know, like I just always knew my sister was watching what I was doing, so I was like, I gotta do the best thing, and my parents like made a big deal about that as well. So I don't know, I just like had this like gotta present yourself well, have to like lead by example, and so like I feel like that's mostly like that's my leadership style. Like I will show up to things, just like help out however I can, and hope that like other people are also like watching and just like follow my lead. But I know a lot of times like in leadership situations it's hard because people are not always watching or paying attention if you're speaking, which I think is where the louder leaders could step in, and I know that's where John has been like a huge support. like, we've been in meetings where I'm, like, trying to say something, but I just, like, I'm not loud enough to speak over everyone else's, like, 50 million conversations. Yeah. So just, like, the times that John has been, like, hey, guys, like, can we quiet down a bit? Like, that just, like, goes such a long way. So, like, if you're ever in a situation where you see someone, like, kind of trying to talk but, like, struggling to be heard, I guess, if you have a voice loud enough to, I don't know, quiet everyone else down, that really helps. Also, if you are, like, a quieter leader, or, like, so one of our officers, like, wrote me the sweetest thank you note talking about how she got interested in AMWA. We did a thing at one of the classes where we, like, presidents and, like, people went to speak about their organizations. It was, like, an org showcase. And so one of these girls was, like, in the class, and she heard me speak about AMWA, and so she wrote in her note that she recognized a fellow quiet person. Mm-hmm. And how that, like, really inspired her. And she was like, oh, there's a quiet person. Like, look at where they've gotten, and, like, look at what they've been able to do. And so I didn't even know this until, like, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. But it was so sweet that, like, to know that I was able to inspire her, and that I didn't even realize that that was a thing that people thought about. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, but, like, just, like, seeing, like, yourself represented. But yeah, if you're a quiet leader, you are still able to do things, I guess. Like, if you feel like you're a quiet person or a shy person, like, that shouldn't stop you from leading by example, finding a loud friend, changing the world.
Yeah. And having courage. Yeah. And making, you know, big changes. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. As someone with also a quiet voice.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we have a harder time making ourselves seen, right? Yeah. Or feeling seen. Yeah. Right? And I think as someone with a louder voice.
Yeah.
We appreciate you.
Like, you're stronger in that capacity. It means a lot to us. Like, right, Krupa, when someone wrote a note to you that said, hey, I see you, like, mm-hmm. you're another quiet person, yeah. that, like, goes a long way with us. And me, as a quiet person, I was a drum major in high school, which meant I had to yell across a football field. And I legit told my band, I was like, you're not going to hear me. You'll see my lips move, so just watch my arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's really no difference. I feel like it's just lung capacity.
That, and I mean,
and confidence, I think.
Like, confidence a
yeah, lot. Yeah, no, that's something that, like, struck out to me, like, from the moment I met you. Like, she's very confident.
That's so funny, though, that you say that, because I have had, like, so many self-esteem issues throughout my entire life. Like, even, like, right now, sitting in this room, like, I still, there's, like, a small voice in my head that's like, you know, but you're not quite as good as you know, you could be, and, like, and it's a mean voice. Like, there's definitely those times where I'm like, ugh, I don't like myself very much. And so I think what I had to learn from, like, the very beginning is, like, I have to fake it until I make it. And so it makes me so happy, and honestly surprises me when people are like, yeah, like, you seem like a very confident, like, very self-possessed woman. And I'm like, good. Because, like, I've been faking that whole thing.
And it's the courage to get out of the comfort zone. I feel like a lot yeah. of times, at least for me, being quiet is very safe for me. I hug the wall. I'm a, what do you call it?
Wallflower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, then I don't risk being embarrassed. I don't risk yeah. someone thinking something of me. But then if I have a point to make, or if there's something important that needs to happen, then that's on me. Like, get out of your comfort zone and make your point.
Yeah.
I actually have a tie-in of those two art, which, so with, like, the chalkboards, I know I would, like, really hate how they looked at the beginning, but, like, everyone else would say they looked great. yeah, no, like, I would see, like, the tiny, like, little, like, extra stroke that, like, shouldn't have been there, but no one else could see that, though, like, because they didn't know what, like, I had expected. I'm trying to see how to, like, phrase this. But, like, but the thing is, like, they still appreciate it. So in the beginning, like, I had so much trouble. Like, I would spend hours and hours, like, doing and redoing these chalkboards because I needed it to be perfect. But, like, there's really no such thing as perfect.
Yeah.
Because, like, they don't, everyone, like, thought it looked great no matter what, because they don't know what you wanted it to be. And so, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you don't even, I don't know, there's no, like, standard that you need to hold yourself up to, because no one else is, like, really, like, noticing the things that you're noticing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, that's something I've learned, like, throughout college. I've kind of started speaking up a little more since freshman year. Because, again, like, I was always like, oh, if I don't, like, say anything, like, no one's going to judge me. But, again, like, no, like, doesn't matter. Like, no one really cares about a lot. Like, I guess that's one thing I learned in college. Like, no one cares about anything.
Yeah.
It was, like, in the beginning, remember, like, freshman year, we'd always, like, try to eat together? And you're, like, it's so, like, you can't go in the dining hall and, like, sit by yourself. That's just weird. And now I'm just, like,
oh, I don't care.
I will sit down, like, outside of a classroom and eat by myself. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think, like, other people don't see the flaws that you see in yourself.
Yeah, and a lot of time it might even just be that, like, everybody's so focused on themselves.
Exactly.
Everybody's just thinking about themselves so much and being like, what am I doing? And so everybody's thinking, what is everybody else thinking of me? And nobody else is looking at anybody else. Yeah. So
even though we're all worried about the same thing.
Exactly. So that's kind of funny. But I will say one thing is, like, and I don't mean this, like, in any kind of way, obviously, but I feel like Croups was even quieter than this when we, like, first met.
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, to the point where, like, I, like, definitely had trouble, like, hearing Croups most of the time. So I would always kind of have to, like, lean in and be like, yes.
See, maybe that's her strategy.
Yes,
you gotta, get them on the hook, you know? Yeah. Reel them in.
Yeah.
Say so, something like, I used to be a con artist. What?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, isn't there like a character like that in like Pitch Perfect? Yeah.
I ate my twin in the womb.
Yes. I ate my twin in the womb.
I have been called that character so many times in my life.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Yeah. But like, you know, I'm curious though, both of you guys, as, you know, kind of quieter leaders, have there been like specific instances or situations that have happened where like you feel like, wow, this world is designed for loud people, you know? Because sometimes I feel like that, like in a room full of noisy people, I'll see that one person or two people that are kind of
I don't know if this is true, but sometimes I found that people who tend to be better speakers process things by saying them out loud.
Hmm.
Are you that kind of person?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I usually can't say much until I've thought it through in my head, and then it comes out. So I don't say as much just because I'm not there yet. Like, if
you've already internally, but yeah.
Right. So I feel like a lot of times you or, like, Amanda, sometimes they can figure things out as they're saying it, and so they're a lot more confident if you throw them up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
They can kind of feel the room and then just go with it. If you threw me up on stage, you would get a lot of ums and silences, and then I would produce one sentence.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I wouldn't say that I feel like it's built for you guys. I feel like sometimes when the attention is on you, you can handle it better. But I feel like if I prepped correctly, I'm fine.
Interesting. That's interesting.
That's just me, though.
Yeah, I like that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, no, I never thought about that, but I definitely agree. Though it's weird. I've gotten to the point where, like, running, like, AMMA meetings and stuff, I used to prepare, like, we used to rehearse our PowerPoints.
Oh, yeah.
And then now I'm just like, I'll just go up there and say things.
Yeah.
But, in terms of do I feel like the world is built for louder people, I think the only way I've noticed that is just, like, getting a seat at the table is kind of challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, once you're there, and, like, just even getting a seat, a lot of it is, like, you need someone to notice you first to be able to, like, give
elbow
you
your
the
way
opportunity,
in. Yeah.
I guess. So, like, that's been, like, something that I've really appreciated about AMWA is we've had such great, like, mentors and, like, people in leadership that have been, like, seen me and helped, like, bring me into, like, the positions where I can make change. And, like, with other organizations as well. And, like, even still being in those positions, it's sometimes hard, like, I've mentioned this, like, just, like, getting a word in when everyone's talking. So, I feel like in, like, pretty much, like, every leadership position I've been, I've had, like, a friend that is, like, loud enough for them to be like, wait, like, let's listen to what Krupa's saying. Like, I think we have an idea here. Like, I've been at, oh my gosh, I was at a a dinner with some speakers for like an event we were doing, and it was like a really big table. There was everyone was talking, and I was like at the edge of the table, like literally at the edge, and I had my friend like literally like physically pull my chair closer to the middle and like say, "So what do you think about this?" Just so I could like have an opportunity to speak to like the people at the table, which literally
like
having a
physically
like she literally like drag the seat, like she would drag the chair closer. So yeah, thank you if you're listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would distinguish between quiet and shy as well, because I feel yeah, like quiet people getting a seat at the table, historically I'm not very good at being like, "Hi, notice me," yeah. But then I'll find a person or two and then start a conversation, talk to them, and then leave an event feeling like I've made a pretty solid connection. So I think it's just different sides of the same coin.
Yeah, like a personality thing, yeah. Also like extroverted versus more introverted. Yeah, definitely. I was just curious.
No, that's so good. I hadn't thought about
that. No, that's a really good question.
Mm. Well, thank you.
We need people like you asking these questions.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, I think that's definitely one thing, like, as a louder person, that's something I had to, like, actively work on, is not, like, trampling and, like, steamrolling over people who are presently, like, talking and trying to express ideas.
That's a good point. So quiet people, don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone and speak up. And then louder people, don't forget to maybe take a second and see if there's a quiet person trying to say something.
Yeah. We need our allies, our loud allies, quiet allies.
Yeah. Like, get up and make sure you haven't squashed anyone. Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool.
Is there anything in the first half that you guys want to talk about?
I wanted to know what you're watching on Netflix.
Oh, yes. Group has a very good list of podcast and TV and...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I have a podcast recommendation, but okay. I will save that for...
Okay, how about
if
we just...
and when anybody wants to ask me.
We'll throw it all out right now, and then I will include this in our show notes or podcast.
Ooh, yes.
So, Krupa, you have some categories for podcasts. Yes. What is the first
one? Okay, let me start with the Getting Ready podcast.
That's a good place.
It's a quick 10 minutes, maybe 15, up first, which is on NPR. It's the NPR One app, and they just, like, recap what you need to know about the day.
And may I add Morning Edition in here? Sometimes I jam out to the little jingle from Morning.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I listen to that, too.
Love it. Yeah, I love the NPR app, One app. So many podcasts. They like to give you suggestions on there too. But yeah, longer podcasts for showers and or drives is Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is NPR's political news show. No,
each
comedy
time you say
news
that,
show.
I'm like, wait, what's she gonna say? Because when you say wait,
what's she gonna say? No.
And then she's like talking about the podcast. And I'm like, I keep doing that to myself.
Pete Sagal.
Oh my gosh. So they have, yeah, comedians, again, talking about current events. Then there's Fake the Nation, which is a more structured, focused on political, like, events. So, like, Wait, Don't Tell Me is more, like, a fun, just, like, making fun of it. Fake the Nation, like, they do make jokes, but they get a little bit more serious, so it gets very political. They pick, like, three topics and talk about them. But, yeah, the other one, while we're on the topic of comedy, is You Made It Weird. It is hosted by Pete Holmes, who is friends with, like, all the comedians, like, really good friends with them as a comedian himself. So he has, like, what's his name? John Mulaney. They go way back.
Yeah.
I love John Mulaney.
Yeah, so, like, all your faves on there. They talk about their lives and how they got there. They get deep, too. They talk about, like, the meaning of life.
John Mulaney, Salt and Pepper Diner.
Oh, my
Such
gosh.
Such a great story.
Salt and Pepper Diner?
Yes.
Salt and Pepper. Oh, man. Oh, and then Good Christian Fun. Again, it's a comedian type thing. So it's, I don't know if they're actually comedians, but they are very funny. Oh, no, it's Kevin is from Gilmore Guys, if any of y'all have heard that. It's a podcast of two guys watching Gilmore Girls. And
that's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I need to listen
to this. I don't know. I just got annoyed with Gilmore Girls, but I would listen to it for Kevin. But, yeah, he and his friend Caroline host a show called Good Christian Fun, where they talk about Christian pop culture. And, I don't know, they're just...
Amazing. That's good. That would be, like, a real niche hit at Baylor.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I don't know why all of Baylor's not listening to this. It's amazing. Like, they talk about things like VeggieTales and, like...
Oh, yeah.
Such a weird concept.
I know. I love it. And they also have comedian friends because they live in LA. So, like, Ego from SNL was on there before she got on SNL. So, you get all the real insiders.
Yes. And before we jump into the next category, I'm going to add, I gave it a shout out and probably will give it a shout out in the next podcast. Jesus and Jollof, like Jollof Rice. It's Tegan's. Yvonne and Lovie, they are, Yvonne is a star on Insecure.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, they're Nigerian and they're Christian and they talk about, they both work in the entertainment industry.
Uh-huh.
And it is hilarious, insightful. They talk about like success, both sides of success, dating, all kinds of topics. They're hilarious. And if you're ever driving a long way, it's amazing.
Are they from Nigeria, like both of them?
I think so, yes.
Okay, very cool.
Okay, and then your next category is?
Falling asleep once, which is, Hidden Brain. So it's like a social type thing. So they talk about like, it's like sociology basically. But it's really, it makes it interesting. I'm trying to think of an example. Like one of them was, how did kindergarten get started? Like what is the purpose of kindergarten?
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm trying to like pull up my NPR one. Oh, then there's also a feminist one called Strong Opinions Loosely Held. This is one of the longer ones, so like previous categories, sorry.
Strong Opinions?
Loosely Held, yeah.
Is it on Spotify?
Probably. And then Unladylike, two feminist podcasts. Yeah, so they do like really cool episodes on, I don't even know.
You guys, I'm adding to my list. Yeah, right now,
so
honestly.
Now that it's summer, these are all great things to listen to. What about audiobooks, groups?
Oh my gosh. my favorite, absolute favorite of all time is Born a Crime by Trevor Noah. It's his autobiography, but you should listen to the audiobook if you can, because he like does the accents and everything.
It's still on my list. I need to still listen to it.
It's amazing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Bossy Pants.
Yeah, no, other books are, yeah, Bossy Pants, Yes Please, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, my favorite power couple.
Amazing.
I feel like we are like...
Oh my gosh! A little bit!
Like, I can see myself being Tina. And
oh my gosh, yes! R.I.P. headphone users. Sorry. I just, like, screamed.
Yeah, no, that's our list.
Wait, I have two feminist ones.
Please contribute.
I don't really, like, I'm not, like, a huge podcast listener, so, like, I don't know, like, the who's who of podcasts and all that.
Okay.
Except for the Before We Go podcast, which is fantastic.
The ultimate.
And the ultimate. But the one I've been listening to recently is Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. And I really love this one because they talk about lots, like everything feminist related. And the hosts are Keegan and Madigan. And they like drink wine while they like record these sessions. And so it's very like unfiltered. And I love that. And they do a lot of episodes focusing on like intersectional feminism, of course, like kind of obviously more American centered, so it is more about the like people in the States, but they do a lot on Black feminism. So they did an episode about Black hair, like Black trailblazers, like forgotten historical Black feminists, that kind of thing, which is like really important and something you should definitely educate yourselves on if you are a feminist, and even if you're not, I don't know why you wouldn't. But then they also talk about, like, some fun sides of things, like Disney, like, problematic faves, like Little Mermaid, like, and how can you, like, enjoy movies while still, like, looking at it with a critical lens, but also, like, still being, like, yeah, it's still a fave, like, still can be a fave, you know, not a problem. And, like, but then also, like, talking about domestic violence, that kind of thing. And then they have one that's, like, the evolution of underwear, which was, that's one of my favorites. I'm not even gonna lie, one of my favorites, because they talk about, like, corsets and stuff, and how, like, your organs, like, physically shift. Oh, guys, wild. Really wild. And then they had a few, they'd reference the Kardashians a couple times and kind of, if it's kind of toxic to feminism or is it feminist? You know, it's just all of the things that go on in our heads. Why are women obsessed with true crime? Women and cults. That was the latest one I listened to. Women and cults. And very interesting things about the Scientology situation. So I love that one. And then Feminist Folklore is another one. I haven't heard too many of theirs. But I've listened to like a couple, and that's kind of if you're more into like stories and that kind of thing and unpacking kind of literary situations, I kind of liked that. Tiff, you want to go to yours?
Yes.
Okay.
So I have a few of my favorites and Amanda's favorites that I would recommend. The first one is Casey Neistat and his wife Candace.
Oh.
That's just a fun one to listen to if you follow him. Some insight into their dynamic.
Yeah.
And then the second is Just a Tip by Megan Batoon. It's her advice podcast. She invites a bunch of her friends. Actually, it was a big inspiration for this one. But it's hilarious. It's not too long, so it's a perfect, like, 20-minute I need a break and want to listen to something funny.
For Just a Tip, I don't know if anybody watches Parks and Rec, but I always think of, like, the band names that Andy Dwyer, like, Mouse Rat, and I think one of them was Just the Tip. Sorry, inappropriate, but really funny.
I think she might have talked
about
good that
really?
Episodes. Yeah,
not on my good campus.
So, Couples Therapy, Just a Tip, and then Away with Words is another NPR podcast. Mm. If you're a linguistics nerd or just wonder how we end up saying the things that we say, it's really crazy. People just call in and they're like, my uncle says this phrase and I don't know why, and they'll just tell you the origin and all the different versions of it. Yes, very cool.
That's whack.
And then if you're into Asian American culture, They Call Us Bruce. That's a good podcast. And Armchair Expert, it's by Dax Shepard.
Yes,
he interviews a bunch of his celeb friends. And then they're friends, and so it's like an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hour long podcast, and it's pretty funny to listen to.
I love that you just refer to him as Kristen Bell's husband.
I mean, who else is he?
And not as, like, an actor.
Oh.
Is that what he does?
I thought he was a musician.
I don't know. Kristen Bell's awesome.
I know he's an actor.
He's
sure.
Also, oh,
wow.
I think, awesome.
Okay, I have no idea. But, sorry, I remembered as you guys were talking about this, Code Switch, which is about, like, race and topics related to that. It's an NPR podcast. So, like, their most recent episode is called Anger, the Black Woman's Superpower, which reminded me, I got reminded of it when you're talking about black hair. And
Yes.
So listen to that. It's a great NPR podcast.
Yes. So if you listen to this and don't want to listen to it anymore and want to find a better podcast, these are all good options.
Yeah, you know, once we go. When we go?
Once.
When we go.
When we go.
After
listen
we
to these.
Have gone.
After we will have went.
Yes. And then I'll just plug a few of Amanda's favorites. She also mentioned Couples Therapy. And then Amanda's big into skincare, makeup, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So Fat Mascara with Jess and Jen, she recommended, as well
Fat
as
Mascara.
Full Coverage. And I have here Dr. Bronner's Soap Citrus Scent. I don't believe that is a podcast, but
I think that's what she used in a shower.
Oh, yes. If you want a relaxing shower.
Doctor. So use that and listen to these podcasts.
Oh, okay. Yes. But, like, that's a product. Okay.
Yes. And then like, I'll put all these in the description. Yes. I forgot where we were going with this.
Where were we going?
I asked what you're watching on Netflix.
Oh.
Oh.
And you completely derailed my question.
I am so sorry.
We have a podcast, but like TV show recommendations that we have. Obviously The Office in parentheses over here. But Queer Eye season 3, I guess it's been a while since it's been out now, but please watch it, and seasons 1 and 2. But season 3, like one of their episodes again is about like intersectionality when they have like their first, like she's a black lesbian. So, like, the first woman they do, oh my gosh, Mama Tammy, season 2, episode 1, amazing episode, made everyone cry. All of these episodes make you cry. But, yes, Queer Eye is amazing. So I guess I just finished Kim's Convenience, which is such a good show.
I'm gonna get started on that.
It's on Netflix, oh my gosh, so good. Scrubs, rewatching again, because Scrubs. If you are interested in medicine at all or not, like, I've heard that this is, like, the most accurate medical show, and it's, like, it's really funny and good.
You mean Grey's Anatomy isn't accurate?
Oh, I mean, after Grey's Anatomy, of course, no. Grey's Anatomy is the worst.
I have so much to say about Grey's. Like, I just...
Why is it still going?
I don't know.
Like, it's... That's what should go, not us.
Before Grey's goes...
Are we
gonna get sued for this? Like, what? this is public slander. Sorry. No, we love you guys. Sorry.
I love Shonda.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I love Ellen.
What? Pompeo.
Pompeo. I was gonna say Ellen Meredith. That's her name of the show. Ellen Pompeo.
Ellen Gray.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Grays, I'll get into a whole rabbit hole if we start talking about that.
Oh, yeah, and then 30 Rock, because we mentioned Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Hmm.
I think this was Tina Fey's show, though.
It
Amy,
is.
I don't know if she guessed. I'm sure she, like, appeared on it somewhat. SNL. Tiff and I love SNL.
Hmm. Parks and Rec is, like, a feminist fave.
That's
love
Amy.
Parks and Rec.
Yes.
That's Amy. I'm watching Arrested Development right now. I'm on the last season. I'm just trying to figure out, like, how I feel about a few of the episodes in the beginning. They're, like, kind of, like, low-key a little bit. They say some misogynistic things. So,
especially is trying to be offensive, though, right? Like, that's
exactly. So it's kind of like The Office in that way, where they're, like, trying to be very, like, you know, very clear that this is not what you should do. What else? Ooh, Orange is the New Black is one that I definitely watched, but I'm catching up on the latest season, so, but it's been very good. It's a serious watch for sure, but very cool, very well done.
Other alternatives to Grey's Anatomy I just thought of New Amsterdam, really good. Yeah, he tries to tackle, New Amsterdam and The Resident. I feel like they're both similar in terms of, like, things that we need to address in healthcare. Like, focusing more on the patients instead of making money in, like, the hospital system, which, I don't know, maybe Grey's does that, maybe? But, like, I don't know, I feel like New Amsterdam, like, focuses a lot more on it than Grey's does. The Resident does a little bit, but... Yeah, they're also both, like, have diverse casts, maybe.
I feel like Grace has kind of gone off the rails, like, with her story. Like, I don't want to give any spoilers, so we'll have another episode dedicated to me.
We'll give John his
before Grace goes.
Yeah, before Grace goes.
We have a long time to record that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have Netflix, and I don't watch that much TV, but I will recommend the YouTube series Yappy. By Long Food Productions, that was one of my favorites. It's not too long, but it's a good insight into Asian Americans, especially second, third, fourth generations, trying to find their voices, find their identities here.
That's on my list. There's a new, like, cartoon type, adult cartoon type based one.
With Tiffany Haddish. And Ali Wong.
Yes, it sounds so funny. And I love both of them as comics. Oh, I've been watching a lot of comedy specials too lately. Like Amy Schumer's, like, Growing. I thought it was really funny.
Oh, yeah. If you're watching comedy specials on Netflix, watch, like, all of Trevor Noah's.
Hasan Minhaj's Homecoming King is, like, it's a fave. Like, I go back to it all the time.
And all of John Mulaney's.
Yes.
Love him. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and Trevor Noah's, like, Fear of the Dark.
Son of Patricia. Was that the newest one?
That's the latest one.
Okay, but there's, like, three.
You've never had tacos? Amazing.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking Tip, and I was like,
no.
I thought we've gotten tacos together. I was like, wait, no, that is from... Oh, man, Trevor. Amazing. Right. Oh, you said Tiffany Haddish. Okay, so another audiobook I've listened to that is very... If you know Tiffany, you can expect her type of humor. So
yeah.
Little ears, beware.
Yeah.
Last Black Unicorn, yes. Listen to the audiobook. Tiffany Haddish is a queen.
She was amazing in Girls Trip. I just have to say it again.
She's just an amazing person.
Yeah,
she's been through so much. Oh, my gosh. Like, so inspiring. Like, her and Trevor Noah, they are my, like, parents. Can you imagine, though?
Oh, my God.
Power couple.
I would have abs just from laughing all the time.
So Trevor and Tiffany ship them.
Okay, so that's more than enough recommendations to last you guys several years.
They want us gone.
They want us gone. The next podcast. They wanted us gone, and now here we are.
They tried to stop us.
I think that's all that I have.
Well, thanks, Janu, for co-hosting with me today.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you, Krupa, for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes, I think after this we will have Amanda and I will record one more wrap-up episode. And then that'll be it for Before We Go. So you can find us on Instagram at Before We Go Pod. And you can email us anytime at beforewegopodcast@gmail.com. And since that's all we have for today, we'll close with Before We Go.
As all good Asian aunties say,
drink more water. And don't pass out.